Hey there, and welcome to Throw Up Thursday. I'm your host, Dr. JJ Kelly, the punk rock doc.
Welcome to Throw Up Thursday. I'm your host, Dr. JJ Kelly, the punk rock doc. It's a beautiful day in Oakland today, so welcome to barfing your problems and leaving feeling better. Hi, Corey. Hello, Olivia. Oh, that must be Joseph. Let's let her in. Let's let Olivia in, my co-host. See if do it right today or have more technical difficulties. Hey, Sam. Hello. Thank you for joining us.
Olivia. Hi.
Yay.
We did it.
Who knew something so easy could be so hard or vice versa? Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
And how are you today?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
Oh, that sounds like not all the way, but we'll get there. Okay.
I had a little thing happen, which I can barf.
Go ahead, barf away.
Yeah. Oh, Corey, stop. But she's going naturally.
True. Yeah. She puts it together for this shit. Hey, Grace.
Yeah. Hey, Grace. Okay. So Concise. Okay. So I found out today that I need to start looking for another job because the kid is going back. One of the kids is going to pre-K, so she's going to be there full time, and the other kid is going to have summer camp, so I won't have a consistent schedule. And I'll still do, you know, here and there, but I'm not going to be like with them as much as I have been.
Ooh, and that's harder than your average coffee job.
Yes. Yeah. So I feel sad, like disappointed and a little, and some fear, I think, and like a little frustration too of like, well, because when I, you know, I was like, I don't want to stop, like, why does it, you know, I don't want it to be over. And which is like,
you're happy for them, are you not?
Happy for them, yes. I'm excited for them. I'm proud. I like feel pride and like love. I think that's like the main thing too, is that I'm just like, ugh, I fucking love these kids. I'm gonna miss them.
You are preaching to the choir on that one. I know how that feels to let them out of the nest like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Erica. I know. Yeah. I would focus on the heartache more than the regular job fears and the frustration that it didn't go exactly. I mean, if you were being realistic, you would have let into your psyche that this was a finite thing, had a shelf life as kids grow up, you know?
I knew it. I just didn't like thinking about it because I was so, you know, in denial about it a little bit. So, yeah, it's mostly just like, ugh, it's hard. And I feel kind of like not pissy, but I'm just like, well, so you guys are just going to keep going and I don't get to watch and I don't get to be there for it?
That's not where you want to be, dude.
No, I know. I just found out like 2 hours ago. So I'm still
processing the entitled martyr narcy thing instead of like the actual heartache of, oh, I miss you. I love you. Goodbye.
Yeah,
that's hard, hon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, you and I will definitely talk more about that because that's a heavy-hearted thing.
Yeah.
But and you did really, a great job.
Yeah. And it shows that I created a connection with the kids that I feel this sad to leave. And I know that I, like, made an impact and they made an impact on me. And it was a really, you know, it was a very special thing. And I feel really, I'm going to cry. I feel very grateful to have gotten to, like, step in and be there and see those kids. And it's exciting that, you know, he's going to get to go be in first grade in school probably. And that'll be exciting.
I always would cry when, like, leaving a nanny job or something. I'd be like, you guys are growing up. Blah, blah, blah. And then I'd shut the door and walk away and just bawl. You know, sometimes, like, when you went to college.
Yeah.
I cried. Like, I cry when people leave. Even, you know, I'm happy for them that they can move on, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when it was, you know, psychotherapy. It's not, like, coaching like this. This is different. And I'd be like, oh, you're so ready. This is awesome. Great. And then I'd shut the door and bawl. And so
yeah,
I rally. So, I mean, this is the nature of that kind of a heart connection job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you did it right, your heart's going to be broken.
Definitely. And then I felt cried about being like, well, I'm glad I was so engaged with it in a way where I didn't hold anything back because I am really hurt. And that's better than me being like, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, what a beautiful gift to, like, have my heart broken a little bit.
Exactly. You know? And let's see how you do it next time having had this.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's the real.
Mm-hmm. I still want to give it all, like, all of my heart. I think that just is, like, I can deal with this feeling. It's definitely a bummer. I know that I'll, like, see them again. It's not like I'm never going to see them again either. Mm-hmm. But I think it's better than being guarded, especially with little kids. Because then you have to, like, because they're so open. And so it's like,
you never would have had as much fun as you had.
No, no.
So wow.
Yeah.
Being brave enough to have your heart broken. That is such a life lesson on so many different levels.
Yeah.
Kids, partners, jobs, friends, like, shit comes and goes. People come mm-hmm. and go, whether we want them to or not. It's a funny thing. We like so cling to things never changing, stay the same all the time. But you can't grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you grow and you're like, this is so fucking painful.
Yeah.
This isn't fair. And all kinds of. Yeah. The pain teaches us faster than the joy, I think. I mean,
I think so too.
At times, anyway. All right. That was brave to say that on the live. Good job.
You're welcome.
That was brave. All right. Let's move on.
Okay. All right. So, next one. I got one from a friend that this one might be kind of short, but I realized I didn't know how to answer it. They were asking what the difference between CBT and DBT is.
Hmm. That's a great question. Do you want to try?
Well, I think DBT is more structured and has like more of a, because CBT is just talk therapy, right?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Okay. I don't really know.
So cognitive behavioral therapy versus dialectical behavior therapy. So it's kind of like mindfulness and meditation. Like meditation is mindfulness, but mindfulness is not meditation. So okay. CBT is DBT, but DBT is not. DBT is dialectical behavior therapy. Two seemingly opposing things existing at the same time. It is the two circles, the Venn diagram. One of those is CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, meets Zen mindfulness. So this is all the Thich Nhat Hanh stuff, the core mindfulness skills and the distress tolerance skills. And then the CBT is the emotion regulation skills and the interpersonal effectiveness skills.
Yeah. Okay.
Very cool. That's the very simple answer. Cognitive behavior therapy is addressing thoughts, problematic thoughts. It's a lot of the cognition part. And it's not like CBT doesn't talk about emotions. It does. But DBT gets way more into the emotions part, as evidenced by how people act out.
Yeah.
People do not act out nearly as much when you're just doing CBT with them. Mm-hmm. DBT takes you right to that edge. It challenges all your defenses and anything, you know, all your willful stuff. And it goes right to the emotions and changes the judgmental thoughts, all that. It gets down and dirty. And that's why I like it better.
It's not as like threatening with like heavy air quotes.
Way more threatening.
Oh, the CBT is.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Because like CBT is like the challenging thought patterns thing, like the maladaptive thought patterns. Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm. And how it affects behaviors.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not like that's non-inclusive of emotions. It's just not as thorough as I like it.
Yeah.
Hi, Thomas.
No, hi. I can't see anything that is happening.
Thomas. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, cool. I'm sorry. okay. So another one. All right. I got this one from Allie.
Great.
Okay. So she said, and then she has an answer also, which awesome. I just love. I'm loving love getting that. The question and the answer at the same time.
Great.
Okay. Hi, so Mary. She said, I notice I feel terror every time I spend money and have ruminating worries about creating stability for myself. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is current circumstances, and honestly, most of it is memorized automatic beliefs around money. I'd like to let go and heal my mindset around finance and not give it so much power to derail me.
I think that's surrender work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's like if you believe in something like source or the universe or God or Allah, whatever you believe in, the creator, whatever, you got to turn that over. First of all, Allie's totally right. That's programming,
mm-hmm.
you know, repetitive thinking creates neural pathways. And then that's just, you end up riding the horse the way it's going. Mm-mm-mm. And you have to actually derail it and then start to repeat other thoughts to yourself to create new neural pathways. So a mantra or affirmation like, I have everything I need all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because there.
What's that?
Answer said affirmations.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And Allie says here, willing to trust. Yes, trust the process of the universe, kind of trust. Trust yourself. But I think this one is a handed over. You know, AA does this so great. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why non-addicts don't have more access to this kind of turn it over to God or whatever goddess, whatever your higher power is, even if it's your future self or your best self or whatever for people who have God aversion stuff. You just ask for the help, ask for them to take it from you, and then you trust that it will be taken care of. As well as I would be doing the reprogramming of the affirmations over and over again. And every time you have an intrusive worry thought, jump on that affirmation. I am safe, I am secure in all that I do. Whatever. Pick one with your own words. Make sure it doesn't have some sort of sneaky doubt in it or something like that. And then you're repeating that, brainwashing yourself more fearfully. You want to have it be something that, you know, you don't all the way believe. You know, you put it to the place you want to be. I am completely secure and safe in everything that I do. Like, 100% of you doesn't believe that right now, but that's the point of a mantra, is brainwashing yourself to the more mm-hmm. positive, more stable, more calm place. And I'm fine with using the word brainwashing because that's what we're doing all the time to ourselves anyway. Anytime you're repeating something over and over again, you're creating neural pathways. That is brainwashing. That's why anybody, even smart people, can be swept up by cults. Another story, another book. Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. Nice one, Allie. Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay, I got another one.
Allie knows that too. She knows all
mm-hmm. of that. Yeah. Well, her answer, I didn't read her answer, but basically said everything that you said.
Yeah. However, you have to practice it. You can't just say the thing or just know the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish a cult would sweep me up. Shut up, Corey. You're in one, man. It's called LA. All right. Next slide. Okay. Next slide.
All right. This one is from Astrid's friend.
Okay. Great.
So she said, or they say, I'm on a vacation right now with some of my old high school friends. And one girl keeps asking us if we really want her there or if we're faking being her friend.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I know. I don't know her well, and I want to still have a good time. Do you have any advice for how to keep some boundaries?
Yeah. You could pull you could pull a Princess Bride. Stop saying that. I
However, you could do a DBT move, which is get that person to their emotions. Well, what are you feeling that's making you ask this over and over again? Because it's getting pretty fucking annoying, to tell you the truth. I mean, I have empathy for the fact that you clearly have some feelings behind it. Fear, insecurity.
Maybe like some buried anger too.
It depends, you know, like, are they frustrated that they're in the car or whatever, or there's some unresolved issue from before the road trip that's now getting played out in this compulsive asking and codependent pull and cling for reassurance. Like, that's not really healthy for anybody, including the asker. Like, even if you keep saying, yeah, we really want you here, you're not doing that person any fucking favors, because they're still dependent on your approval. That's codependent. Mm-hmm. That's unhealthy. So to ask a question like, what's going on inside of you that you keep compulsively asking that question? Are you nervous about something that you keep asking that question? Because, you know, asked and answered. I already answered this like 4 times, and that's 3 more than I wanted to. It's 4 more than I wanted.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like, why the hell are you on this trip if you think everyone hates you? Like, deal with your shit.
Yeah.
Like, that is emotion regulation stuff right there. I mean, it takes mindfulness of being able to name the fear, insecurity, unacknowledged anger, whatever the fuck is going on underneath that. But anytime something's repeating like that, it is some unresolved emotion, usually fear, anger, sadness. It's like continuously putting a Band-Aid on a wound that needs more than stitches or something, you know, like more than just a Band-Aid flopped on there. You can't just keep self-medicating that unacknowledged emotion through codependent pulling from other people. You're going to piss them off. You're going to erode your own self-esteem, and you're going to fucking ruin the car trip. Everybody that's taking a trip knows how some shit comes up. We don't have to go there, but anything that repeats like that is going to be 10 times more annoying in a car trip situation, and probably 10 times more likely to happen because of a car trip situation. Mm-hmm. You know, she's contained. She's thinking about it over and over. I wish she had the courage to just say whatever the hell's going on with her. However, we can't control people. So you can just ask. At the end of the day, you can say, asked and I am not answering that question anymore. Please stop asking me.
Yeah.
That's an okay
and just broken
thing.
Record.
I would have very little tolerance for that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. Very little. And I would love to know what's going on with this kid. I really would.
Yeah,
I would love the details of this. And the poor person would probably be mortified to know that they're, you know, being addressed in this way, which makes me feel empathy and wanting to help them even more. This is not an uncommon thing. So it's a great question. And I hope that person finds some peace so they don't ruin their good time.
Yeah.
Okay. Woo. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I just want to kill them.
I know. Cause it's like, easy to read that and just be like, oh my god, that's so annoying, and then also, but then to get to be like, that is sad.
It is sad. If you could get past the like, shut the fuck up, then you could get, and that's the thing, getting to the empathy is really the only way to work with somebody. But again, they're not like the doctor patient, like, it's not that kind of relationship. You don't have to tolerate that. And even if I were in a doctor-patient relationship, I would not tolerate that. I wouldn't let you do that.
Well, you don't.
I've never done that. No, because I don't think it's healthy for you.
No, because it's not, because it's like the more that you, you know, I've had experiences when I was younger where I was like, I'm thinking specifically of like when I was in college and I had these friends and I felt like they were mad at me, but they would never own up to that thought. I thought they were mad at me, and I would just keep asking and also keep putting myself in situations that made me like that were so awkward. And like awkward clearly there was something else going on there that they weren't being honest about. Yeah. But instead of like being like, oh, I have this like horrible feeling that I need to keep asking if things are okay, I kept putting myself in a situation like that and asking for validation that I was like not really getting, instead of being like, okay, well, maybe I don't need to put myself in situations in which I'm consistently feeling like people are mad at me. Like, I
well,
could just
okay, that's it. Not a feeling either. That's also a thought. It's funny
thinking
because
that people are mad at me.
You almost regress a little as you talk about it. Like, you could put yourself back in the situation. Do you know, first of all, that is so gross, all of that neediness.
I know.
Like, what the hell? Okay, looking back, what were the emotions underlying that fucking neediness?
Anxiety, like big fear, and also like rage, I think. That was not, I think probably mostly rage that was then turned inward on myself, at them and the way that they were treating me. And just of that whole to time and situation. And that was back when it was like no acknowledgement of being angry, very much internalized into like anxiety or my own fault.
Right. Because people, when they're saying, are you mad at me? That is a passive aggressive way of being like, some need of mine is not getting met. Like, I'm feeling left out, or the feeling that goes with the thought of being left out, like sad, or, are you guys excluding me, or are you just not being as generous with yourself as I am with people? I mean, are you being dicks? I mean, they might be being dicks, and then she's like, are you guys mad at me? And they're like, no, what? And then she's repelling, or they are repelling them by asking this question that isn't really the question that's going on. Yeah, you point to an interesting thing there. If you're burying rage because they're not being very kind and generous, and you're like, are you guys mad at me? I can't even personally relate to that are you mad at me thing.
Yeah.
Have I ever asked anyone ever? That is such a strange, that's such a strange question, because you know.
I think you've asked that, but not in the way of like from an insecurity thing of just being like, you're acting like a dick. Are you mad at me?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a matter of fact, clinical question. Sure. But socially,
no.
I can't imagine ever asking friends, are you mad at me? Repeatedly? Yeah. Like, there's something so like, about that. No. There's an insecurity to that that a Midwesterner would not do. Okay. But that, when you were describing yours, I think that fleshed it out a little. And was even more useful, that the buried rage part. Are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? And if the answer is no, then is the next question that isn't said, then why are you being such an asshole? Be nicer?
Yeah. Because I think for me, it was like, well, what did I do to make you treat me like this? Because I didn't want to.
I don't like
to be over.
Yes.
And, but instead of being like, wow, I don't actually deserve to be treated like this, and I don't need to be around someone who's like this.
Right.
I was like, what am I possibly doing to create this in someone else? Because if it's my fault, then I can stop whatever it is and make up for it and control it. And it's not, you know, no one, they're not going to leave me. I can fix it if it's my fault.
And what a bullshit scenario to create, because really you want to leave them.
I know. It's like,
unkind
to yourself.
Yeah, it is. It's not surrounding yourself with people that, you know, deserve to be around you. And I guess everybody sort of kind of has to go through that at some time or another. And a road trip is a real quick way to get to that end point where you're like, yeah, done. Don't want to fucking deal with these people anymore. So
Yeah, I imagine it being like that. I wouldn't know personally, but.
You certainly wouldn't. It's a completely hypothetical situation. Next question.
Okay. All right. So this one is from Erica.
Great.
So they said, I use they, them pronouns and feel hesitant to tell people them. I feel fear and anxiety in asserting it and then justified guilt and anger for not asserting my pronouns.
Yeah.
Of course, this is where relationships play a key, where if it's a stranger, I can go either way, depending on the situation. As for friends and family is where I struggle. I know I need a broken record with the people I'm out to. How should I come to situations where I want to tell people I'm non-binary and only use they, them pronouns?
This is not complicated at all. You are responsible for vocalizing what your pronouns are, or you could just let them use whatever pronouns they're going to and decide, hey, you know what? I'm not really reinforcing it with them, so I'm not going to be pissed either. You can't have both. Either like assert what your preferred pronouns are, and then you're pissed when they blow them off, and then you remind them again, or you tell them once, and you decide you're not going to keep doing it,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, whatever. But you don't want to torture yourself with being pissed over and over again. Just say the fucking thing again. Hey, it's, I do they, them. Remember we talked about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my personal opinion is everybody probably ought to be they, them, and the world would just be easier. However, you know, 20 years from now or two, that might change. So who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
And you want to also allow for slippage, like, you know, honest mistakes, and then just prompt them. I mean, mm-hmm. it takes, again, the neural pathways, right? If everybody is used to a certain pronoun, give them a minute. If they're trying and you trust that they love you and they want to do for you the pronoun switch, then just give them a minute and give them a gentle reminder. And they're still going to mm-hmm. get a hit of shame, which is annoying. But, you know, it's your responsibility. The grown-up thing to do is to vocalize it or let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, no friends are give us all our needs. And I'm not trying to trivialize the pronoun thing. I'm just saying that everybody fails us in some way. Fails us. Because why? We have an idea that like all our friends have to be perfect and not flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if they're flawed in this realm, well, God damn it, they don't respect my fucking identity politics. You know, I mean, maybe it's just a mistake too. There is sort of, I do worry about our, you know, our community starting to get a little policey and a little echo chambery. I mean, I think we do want to gently remind people of change, not shame them. They're still going to get a hit of shame. Probably that's not on us or you. Mm-hmm. Just let them have it and gently remind them, or decide that they're a good friend and you're going to just not care about this thing. Mm-hmm. Some people eat with their fucking mouth open. And I'm not trying to compare or trivialize or importance. Whatever's important to you, whatever your values are, act from that. Just try to take a holistic approach to the person, your friend, people that you love that have already made it into the trust circle. Start with them. If it's like your parents or your grandparents or whatever, maybe twice a year fighting with them, isn't that worth it to you? Maybe it is. It's not for mm-hmm. me to say. I'm just saying, let's not go out of our way to make ourselves fucking miserable by not taking responsibility and then being butthurt about it, or taking responsibility to a point where that sliver of the pie of friendship is the only one you're looking at. That is probably controversial, and it's gonna have, but you know what? Fuck, man. Life is short. But the main thing there is that it is Erica's responsibility to vocalize boundaries. It is mm-hmm. always our responsibility to vocalize preferences, boundaries, truth. Do not expect people to read your mind. My God, they're only thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about what your mind happenings are. So, all right. Well, that's interesting. That's a great question. Thanks for that. All right. All right. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. That's all the questions I had.
Oh, great. Perfect. Well, thank you for joining us this week. And have a lovely holiday weekend if you are in the States. And be careful, particularly driving, but enjoy yourself. And we will see you next week for Throw Up Thursday. If you want to talk more, drjjkelly.com. I remembered.
Yay! Our free consult at drjjkelly.com.
And thank you for joining, Olivia, as always.
Thank
for the pleasure.
You. Bye.
Bye.
Get in touch with me, Dr. JJ Kelly, the punk rock doc, at drjjkelly.com.